You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled A Changed Sight, is the seventh message in the series Changed, based on the Gospel of John, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
We're going to read the word of the Lord this morning, and we're going to be in the book of Isaiah and as well as the Gospel of John. So, you know, friends, someday you and I are going to be in the ground, possibly. I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but the statistics on human beings living forever, at least physically, they're not good. The word of the Lord will last forever. The words that we read today are words that humans have heard thousands of years ago. The prophet Isaiah, written 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19, says, "On that day the deaf will hear the word, words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." I like it. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And then the Gospel of John 9. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus. 'But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. But night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pools of Siloam,' which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we have left our homes this morning to come to this house, the house of the Lord, the place of assembly, the gathering of believers. We come, Lord, with a purpose this morning. We come to seek you, to worship you in spirit and truth. We come, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, because we know that your eyes are upon us, that you know each one of us by name. Every hair on our head is numbered. All the days of our lives are laid out before you. In our journey on this earth, Lord, we've come into contact with your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we are all on a spiritual journey, different stages of understanding and growth. We come this morning as seekers, as disciples, as learners. Jesus, would you touch our eyes this morning, that we might see who you are and what you are and what you're doing in our life, your plan, your purpose for us. Lord, would you touch our ears this morning that we might hear what it is that you would say and speak into our lives, both individually and as a church family. We ask this not for the glory of any man, but for the glory of the one who hung on a cross for our sins. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Good morning. Today we're going to end a series that we've been doing called Changed. And I kind of thought about this series. Wouldn't it be cool to go through the Gospel of John and just look at the people who have been changed in the gospel, and how have their lives changed? And so today we're going to end this series. As a matter of fact, toward the end of this series, we're going to be singing the song Amazing Grace. and people are going to come up, and we've given people an opportunity of even sharing a little bit of their testimony about how Jesus has changed them. Now, we say goodbye to this series this week. Starting next week, we're going to do a series called Ghost Stories. Holy Ghost Stories. And we're going to do a series on the Holy Ghost. And I think that's kind of cool to come off of Halloween, right? You know what, friends? Human beings have a need for the supernatural. Think about it. Look at the movies coming out in Hollywood. Humans have this desire for the supernatural. And the amazing thing is the Bible is filled with the supernatural. Am I right? So we're going to go on a really fun series here in the next few weeks after today. And we're going to be doing a series coming out of Halloween, the high holy day, right? And we're going to do it starting next week, ghost stories. And so, hey, maybe you know somebody that would be interested in hearing this. Invite them to church next week. Look forward to seeing them there. So, is it true that people that meet Jesus, that people that have an encounter with Jesus, is it true that many people that have this encounter, there is life change in these people's lives? Is that true? Is it true? Is it just a philosophical thought? Is it experiential in your life? Obviously, as we read the Gospel of John, it's fun to just look at this person in the Gospel of John, starting from the first chapter, the second, the third, and they meet people. These people meet Jesus, and their lives are forever changed. And it's absolutely cool. And not just in the Scriptures, but as we look at humanity, and I always say this, people ask me, why do you believe? I've actually said, chaplain, you seem like an intelligent man. Why do you believe in fairy tales? And I tell him straight up, Christianity is the most intelligent faith on the planet. It's historically accurate. The Bible's archaeologically accurate. The Bible's geographically accurate. The Bible is prophetically unbelievable. And Christianity has myriads of peoples whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. I always hold up the five. These are the reasons why I believe. And then I ask them, well, why do you believe in nothing? Or why, and evidence of faith. People's lives are changed. Oh, bless you, sister. She's just not a great violinist, decent singer, but she even brings me water. I love it. Okay, how about this man? I talked about this man as we began this series called Changed. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named John Newton? John Newton, well, okay, why is John Newton a famous man? He lived in the 1700s. He wrote a song called Amazing Grace. John Newton was a guy who was born in 1725 in London. His father was a shipping merchant, and his mother was a devout Christian. She had hoped her little boy would grow up to be a preacher, but she died of tuberculosis when he was 6 years old. And for the next few years, Newton was raised by a stepmother it was the classic wicked stepmother. And so his father, being a merchant, John Newton goes to the seas. And he gets on a ship as an apprentice when at the age of 11, and he stays on it for 30 years. And as a sailor growing up, he denounces his faith, gets in all kinds of trouble with the Royal Navy and deserting. And later he managed to get himself on a slave ship where he began a career as a human trafficker, right? Modern day human trafficking, slave trade. John Newton. While aboard the ship, the Greyhound, Newton gained notoriety for being one of the most profane men the captain had ever met. In a culture where sailors commonly swore, Newton was admonished several times for not only using the worst words the captain had ever heard, but creating new ones to exceed the limits of verbal debauchery. Y'all get that? In March of 1748, while the Greyhound was in the North Atlantic, a violent storm came upon the ship. Now, I was thinking about this. Has anyone ever seen the movie Master and Commander? It's a great movie. Can you imagine what a violent storm would look like? So he's on this ship, and as a matter of fact, there's a buddy. He was standing in a spot on the ship, and he moved away, and another buddy came up to where he was, and a wave knocked this guy off, and he disappeared, died. And he watched it. John Newton was so afraid on the ship that at one point he tied himself to parts of the ship so he wouldn't be washed away. He was afraid. He thought he was going to die. So do you know what he did? During that storm, he cried out to God for mercy. He says that night he began to ask if he was worthy of God's mercy or in any way redeemable, as he had not only neglected his faith, but directly opposed it, mocking others who showed theirs, deriding and denouncing God as a myth. And yet here he was on a slave ship in a storm, scared, not just of losing his life, but scared of where he's going. And should he have been scared? John Newton met Jesus that night. And when he got to port, he wrote the first words of his now famous song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." John Newton's life was changed by his encounter with Jesus at night on the deck of that ship in the 1700s. He later on became a pastor and a leading influence in the outlawing of slavery in the British Empire. Was his life changed? Would that qualify as a change? John Newton wrote a song called "Amazing Grace," and in it he says, "Since I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Where did John Newton get the lyrics to that? Where did he figure out those famous words, "I was blind, but now I see"? He cheated. He got them in the Bible. He got them in the Bible, in the Gospel of John. He got them from this man in the 9th chapter who was born blind. And let me just, this is a great story, and we're going to catch up here. Jesus is in Jerusalem. Jesus is having a hard time with religious leaders. He keeps healing on the Sabbath and ticking them off. And one day, Jesus was walking with his disciples, and his disciples just see this blind man from mom's womb. The guy's blind. And they ask the question, why? Why? Why is this man blind? Born blind? And what did Jesus say? Karma. Is that what Jesus said? Karma. You see, this man in his past life has done really bad things. So in this life, he's paying for the things he did in his past life. Thus, that's why the man is born blind, and let's move on. Is that what Jesus said? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents said, or sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him, right? As long as it's still day, Jesus says, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. The Bible allows, dude, the suffering of humanity is rooted in sin. Totally true. General suffering, all of humanity is rooted in sin. But to say that an individual's suffering is rooted in their sin is unfair. And Jesus just downplays this simplistic theology that, like, Hinduism plays into karma. Jesus looks at this, he says, that is a simplistic theology, and it is not true. It is not true. Each human being is a distinct individual, right? Made in the image of God. The Bible says that we're all marred. Do you understand that? Effaced would be in other words. Genesis, God creates us and he says we're good. And the Bible says we fell. And the best way I look at that is if you take a person that made a beautiful painting, and while it's still wet, you take your fingers and you just mar it. The painting's still there. You can still see it, but there's a marring. We are all effaced. We have all been marred. You understand? All of us has been given our own... Hey, is all men created equal? Is all men created equal? In the image of God, in value of God, is all men created equal? Answer? Yes. Is each human being equal in their abilities? Handicaps. Their birth of origin. Is human beings equal then? No. No. In giftedness and opportunity and handicaps, we're not all equal. I always look at it like we've been each given a certain deck of cards, and this is how we play out our hand. Friends, I have scoliosis in my back. Is that because I've sinned? No. I just have scoliosis. Those are the cards I've been dealt. You understand? All of us has been given a deck of cards. This man was born blind. Why, Lord? Just the way it is. The fall. It's the way it is. It happens. Is it because he sinned? No. No. And I love this. When you read this, there's a sense of urgency with Jesus as they're discussing. They're at the temple and they're just seeing this guy, right? In John chapter 9, verse 4, it says, as long as it is day, Jesus says, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Time is urgent, precisely because we only have this one life in which to work for God. There's no further lives, people. There's no reincarnation. Jesus knows that he is working under the shadow of the coming cross, and that his time is limited to do God's work. And so after teaching about this, which I think is a great topic, why is this? Karma? No, right? After Jesus is teaching on this, he does something amazing. Stops, spits on the ground, gets some clay, wipes in this dude's eyes and says, hey, go wash, right? The guy like, thank you. I don't know. Was he looking for money? Thanks for spitting, you know, what's this? Who knows? This guy go washes his eyes and guess what happens to him? Changed. His life was changed. His cards in an instant was reshuffled. Jesus changes his life like that. He sees for the first time. He sees for the first time. He had never seen his parents' face. He'd never seen his neighbors. This man has never seen a sunrise. This man has never seen flowers. And his life has changed. Can you all picture this? I mean, he's just washed. So what does he do? He's going home. And as he leaves to go home, this guy... He doesn't need to remember so many steps, turn left, so many steps, turn right. You go up here as he's memorized so often how to get to his house as a man blind from birth, right? Born blind. He walks home. And as he's walking home, this is what happens. It says, therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but it's one like him. And he kept saying, I'm the dude, right? So they were saying to him, how then were you eyes open? He answered, the man who's called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, where is he now? He says, I don't know. And they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day in which Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Hey, how's this guy doing so far? How's this guy doing so far? From the pools of Siloam, he washes and he sees. What does he do? He goes home. He's no longer a blind man. He's just walking home, right? And his neighbors see him coming up the street. But there's something different about him. There he is. Hey, he seems to be walking with more confidence. Dude, where's his white cane? Maybe he's playing with it like a sword. I don't know. There he is. And they're like, is that him? No, that's not him. Well, it looks like him. It might not be him. They go out and it's him. And they're like, is it him? It's not him. And the whole time he's all, it's me, right? So these guys, after debating about him, what do? See, he's busted. This guy's busted. Why is this guy busted? Because this guy was healed on Sabbath. Busted. So it doesn't even say this guy gets to go home. The crowds, the neighbors, shoo him back to the temple, to the Pharisees. Because, hey, this is weird, right? He's busted. Friends, the Jewish people back then and today approach Sabbath in a funny way. They're funny how they practice keeping the Sabbath. Did y'all know that? If you go with me to Israel on Saturday, when you get in an elevator, you have Shabbat elevators and you have non-Shabbat elevators. The Shabbat elevator stops at each floor all the way up because you don't want to press a button. Because if you press a button, you're lighting fire. I kid you not. True story. The Chabad that's over here used to be in a building that was over here to the right when they were building that. And on a Saturday, one Saturday, I was at church here doing something, and Rabbi Tannenbaum came out to me. Can you help me? I really need some help. I'm like, yeah, get over. I need you to do this for me. I came over to, and he goes, would you turn the switch on? Air conditioning switch. I said, no problem. Whoosh, whoosh, air conditioning comes on. He goes, oh, thank you very much. Man, I wish life would be that simple in helping people, right? I'm walking away and I started thinking, why didn't he do that? Because he interprets that you're not supposed to light fire on the Sabbath. You get it? By the way, if you've had two sticks and try to rub them together, would you call that work? That's work. That makes sense. Well, electricity's now lighting fire. That's why they don't drive cars on Saturday, because you've got fire, right? So as I'm walking away, I'm sitting here going, why didn't he do that? Because he felt that if he had done that, he would have sinned before God. So did he make me? Sin before God? The Jewish people treat this thing, this Sabbath thing, very unique. How they practice it, they are very funny in how they deal with this, even now. Back then in the days of Jesus, obviously this guy's broken the Sabbath, right? Because he's doing nice things, healing people. Kind of funny how that works. It's really weird. You go to Israel and on a Saturday, I kid you not, if we were in Israel today, and it's Saturday, we could walk out on the 405 freeway or the 5 freeway, there'd be no cars. Everybody's home. It's weird. It's awesome, actually. It's pretty, it's what they do. The Sabbath was originally set as a day of rest and worship. You all know that, right? As a day of celebration. It's a day of rejoicing before God. You stop. You do these things. And yet Jesus constantly just keeps healing on the Sabbath because he's telling him, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Can I just tell you guys, I'm God. I'm the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You guys are misinterpreting how I intended it to be. And I think Jesus continues to heal on the Sabbath just to tick people off. And sure enough, this poor guy is just wrapped up in it. And so he goes to the temple. And there he is. And the Pharisees get a hold of him. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath on the day which Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to him, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others, probably Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, are there saying, how can a man who's a sinner perform such signs? So this debate goes on with the Pharisees. There was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "I think the guy's a prophet." Y'all get that? I think he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe him that he had been blind and had received his sight until he called his parents of the very ones who had received sight. So bring in his parents. So this poor guy tells the same story that he told his neighbors to the Pharisees, and their reply is, well, number one, Jesus is not a good guy, and number two, we don't believe you. So there he is. How's this guy's day going? How's his day? Weird day, right? So then they go get his parents. The parents show up. Hi, Mom. Doesn't even say they've seen their kid. Have you ever been, when you were a kid, did you ever get taken to the principal's office? Confession time. Anyone? Come on. I'm real curious. How many people was taken to the principal's office when you were a kid? Do you remember when your mom walked in the door? Remember the eyes that she had? She looks at you. There's the principal. It's a place of authority. And somehow you're busted. And Mom walks in. Those eyes that she has for you, your dad. Is that the same eyes when his parents come in? Hey, son. Hi, Mom. What'd you do? Oh, my goodness. You see, right? And his parents, almost like they lawyered up before they came. Because they are very straightforward when they start asking him about this stuff. Let's see here. It says, by the way, I just want to say something. It's prophecy. Did you know what Jesus was doing? In the book of Isaiah, it says, when the Messiah comes, he'll bring sight to the blind. Was Jesus doing that in his ministry? If there was anybody, the Pharisees of anyone should have went, he's a Messiah. If there was anybody that was supposed to declare him as Messiah, it's them, but they're mad at him because he's not following how they interpret the Sabbath the way they are, and they can't get past it. And because of that, they're missing Jesus. They're missing the Messiah. I mean, so these people are messed up. We're messed up. Parents come in. Let's check this out. Then the Jews did not believe in him that he had been blind and received sight until they called his parents of the very ones who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opens his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age." He's over 18, right? He's over 18. He's of age. I like that. "For he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Messiah or Christ, this person was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said he's of age." And to be put out of the synagogue is not a good thing, because talk about losing business contacts, social status. It's almost like when the parents showed up, they had lawyered up. We're not saying a word. It'll be yep, nope, plead the fifth, whatever. I don't know if dad's got a good business deal going on. He doesn't want it to fall through the cracks. What it is, his parents act so bizarre in this, and I don't know what to take of them except that they were cowards. And I almost wonder if this guy was feeling a little like, man, talk about being hung out to dry. Thanks, Mom and Dad, you know? Weird. Weird. "Hey, son, I don't know what you've gotten yourself into, but you've aligned yourself with Jesus. These guys don't like him. As a matter of fact, they control the synagogues in the city, actually in the country. And they've already said that anyone that says yes to Jesus, they're going to be kicked out, and we don't want to do that." Cowards, right? "Son, what have you done?" So how's this guy doing? Is he having a good day? Do you think he felt a little betrayed by Mom and Dad? So they again bring the man back up, and this guy gets a little punchy. I think he's finally getting a little angry, a little frustration. Tell me if you sense it. "So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Join our side,'" right? And we're on God's side. That's kind of what they're saying. Give glory to God. This man's a sinner. And then he answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Sounds like that would be great lyrics for a song, doesn't it? I was blind. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? They answered him, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Right? Do you see where this man's heart is? Do you see where he's going? Right? Hey, mom and dad, I'm going this way, right? They ripped into him. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. And we know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he's from. Right? The authority of Moses, the one who wrote the Ten Commandments that says, keep the Sabbath, by their interpretation, right, of what that is, which they've missed it, people. So we're disciples of Moses. The man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing that you don't know where this man is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, Psalm 66, 18. This guy's quoting the Bible. But if anyone is God-fearing, does he hear him? God hears him, right? Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opens the eyes of a person born blind. Dude, this guy's giving him a Bible study. The blind dude starts giving the Pharisees a Bible study. I love it. Absolutely love it. Obviously, this guy went to Shabbat school as a little boy. He knew, right? If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sin, and you're teaching us? And so they threw the dude out. And not only did they throw him out, he's out of the synagogue. He's done. He is now an outcast. Good luck trying to find a job. Do you think this guy cares? How's his day going? Does this guy have a good day? Is he having a good day? It gets better. It ends this way. Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is it? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. Isn't that nice? Take notes, if you would, and talk about this growth groups this week. If you want to get in a growth group, if you love to discuss the sermon, you want to get in a group saying, I'd love to talk about this message, let us know. Take notes on this. Look at this man's progression. I think this is so cool. When this guy first meets Jesus, number one, he's a man called Jesus healed me. He's a man. Jesus is a man. John 9, 11. He's a man. All of a sudden, this guy goes, he's a man. And then they ask him, well, what do you think about it? And he goes, I think he's a prophet. He goes from a man, he goes to a prophet. Do you see his progression? Jesus is a man. Jesus becomes a prophet. Verse 17. And then he says, he's from God. He's a man. He's a prophet. Dude, he's from God. He's a good prophet. He's not a false prophet. This guy's a real deal. This dude's the real deal. Do you see the progression, how the blind man is trying to figure out who Jesus is? And later on, he meets Jesus. He's a man. He's a prophet. He's from God. He's the Son of Man. And that is a beautiful, go look in Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man is a title of Messiah. Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. The prophet Daniel, written 600 years before Jesus was born, speaks that Messiah would be known as the Son of Man. Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He goes, yes, Lord. He goes, well, that's me, right? And in the end, he says, he calls him Lord. And this dude worships Jesus. Do y'all see his journey, his spiritual journey? Man, prophet, God, Son of Man, Lord, worships him. Spiritual journey. And by the time this guy is done, he's no longer physically blind, people. He's no longer spiritually blind. And that's what John Newton was talking about. Right? John Newton grew up, church, blew it off, gonna live, raising hell in my life. Angry at God. I get it. I totally get it. Okay? He finally comes to a place of enlightenment and he pens the words of that song. See, I get John Newton. Now, let me just say this as we close out this series. As I was thinking about the series, I was, dude, you get off the freeway and you look at a person and they're holding a cardboard sign. And the cardboard sign says, I need help, right? I've lost my job. I'm homeless. I'm hurting. I need help. And I'm thinking about this. Friends, in the eyes of heaven, couldn't all of us have a sign like that? Couldn't all of us say, I am in need of help? When we are walking in eternity with the Lord God Almighty, couldn't we have signs that said, this is who I used to be? For example, now I get John Newton because as him, my mom died when I was 9 years old, watched her die of pancreatic cancer. And by the time I was in high school, I hated God, mocked people who claimed to know God. I was a confessed atheist and I hated anyone that I made fun of them. That was me, 20 years age. At the age of 20, this would be me, lost, empty, and angry. Lost because I'm lost. Empty because I've tried everything I can. Nothing fulfills. And I'm angry because if there is a God, I'm mad at him. That was my story. And I met Jesus in my early 20s. And I'm a pastor of a church now. I'm found. I am full. And I have total peace between me and God and me and my mom's death. He's changed me. You see, John Newton, all he did was take his sign and put it to music. All he did was take his sign and put it to music. And we still sing his song today. When you sing Amazing Grace, all you're singing is his sign about his life. This is who I once was. And this is how God changed me. Is that your story? Has God changed you? As we're ending this series, we've given the opportunity for people to come up and say, what's your sign? Would you like to share your sign with the church? And we have people, and by the way, if that's you, I want you to get ready because we're about ready to do this. We're going to sing the song Amazing Grace right here on stage. And as we do, people are going to come up from our church and they're going to hold up their card. Now, I want to tell you straight up, this is a very personal thing for people to share this story. And I pray that this spurs you on to think what would be in your card. Now, what we've done is we've taken pictures of them, so as they hold them up, you can see what their card says on one side or the other. Our God is not just in print in a Bible. Our God is living. The Bible says that we are His testimonies. Our lives are a testimony of the Lord, right? Has your life been changed? If Jesus was not in your life, would you be a different person than you are right now? Huh. Lord God Almighty, we just come before you this Sunday morning. Lord, nothing surprises you. Thank you, Lord, for Mary Lee and Kit. Love them. Pray for them. Their lives have been changed. I know, God. I've gone out to lunch with them and heard their stories many times. Lord, you are the topic this morning and how you touch and change people's lives. I thank you, Lord, for how you have come down from heaven to earth and how, Lord, you have invaded our homes, our lives, our thoughts, our hearts. We thank you, God, for the change that you've brought within people. And we're thankful, God, for the change you continue to bring in our lives. We welcome it. Lord, may your church be blessed today as we ponder our own testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Savior has rescued me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, and ending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His world, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior. Love.
you still sing? Let's sing this song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let's all stand. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, He's mercy brings an ending love. Amazing grace.
You know what? Let's sing again, Amazing Grace. And we sing it by our own song and singing to our Lord, okay? This will be your own personal song to God. Let's sing it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Let us pray. Father, thank you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the unchanging one. And yet, Lord, thank you. You are ever changing us. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us when you reach down and touch us, our hearts, and that we're in the process of being changed from glory into glory till one day we will see you and be like you. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard today and for many who know the reality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that changes lives. Help us, Lord, we pray, to continue being changed by you, that we will indeed know that we will see you and be like you. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us now and until Jesus himself shall come again, and then for all eternity. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.